This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
So Father, we thank you this morning for life-giving moments in your presence. We thank you, Father, that in your presence you offer us abundant life, Lord. You offer us so much more, Lord, that this world cannot offer us, Father. Holy Spirit, what you come and do this morning in our lives, Lord, cannot be described by man. Yet, Lord, you do an eternal work in our lives, Lord. Father, I pray for each and everyone that stood here. I pray for those in the seats this morning, Lord, that you just continue to do an eternal work in our lives. Father, I pray this morning, Philippians 1, verse 6, over every person's life, Lord, that the good work that you started, that you will take it to completion. And every person say, amen. Amen. Take your seats. Give somebody a high five. Tell them God is about to send you this morning. Sometimes when God chooses to work other way around than what we normally, we would work through a moment like this, and then we have, a moment like this morning when God would just minister and His Spirit would just turn up and do things special as we have this morning. But then you feel like, okay, God, why do I still have to say a few things? But I guess He doesn't release me, so we can't go home. I know I would love to go home and just say, you know what, I had enough of God's presence. Well, not enough, but seeing Him working in our lives, because it's not about the, just going through the rituals of listening, but it's actually to get to that place of encountering God. And I think everything that we do and build and worship and bring a sermon and we serve coffees to get every person to that place of encountering God whenever and as possible, as often as possible. Would you say amen, huh? Isn't that true? You didn't come here to listen to a sermon. You didn't come here to listen to Freddie. Sorry, Freddie. Sorry, myself, But I just that's just that one moment when we just enter into His presence and He would whisper something in your ear, or He would just touch you, or you just feel His presence and you know what, I've been with Him and I can actually go home now. So, but I'm actually just trusting that God would just drop something in our spirits this morning as we finish and we conclude our series on the complete or not complete makeover, because we won't be complete. We will still be in process and an extreme makeover. As we started a couple of weeks ago on the new life, we spoke on the new life. We spoke about that when we had a touch on the new desires, that God would do something like that inside of us. Last week we touched on the new commandment, and this morning I want to conclude regarding the new assignment. And none of that is new. Probably you will know many of this, as I've said last Sunday as well. But I think it's important that we remind ourselves from time to time what God has asked us and where He's taking us. So as we were preparing this sermon series, we were praying over this and asking the Lord, what do you want to do? Where do you want to go? Which topics? Which areas? And as I was speaking these two for myself, I didn't know what God wants to say. I knew sometimes the outline, sometimes you just know a title, sometimes you just have a thought, And you just got to go back to Scripture and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. And the amazing thing in this whole thing about our journey with God is that God is ahead of us as well. And as we were looking into the future, as we were looking into the series, and I was still contemplating on what I wanted to say, God was already there in my future. That's the amazing thing about our God. So He knows about our tomorrow. So back then, about three, four weeks ago, when we were still planning the series, I wasn't in Thailand yet. So I went to Thailand, and Thailand became part of the experience of what I wanted to share this morning, as I was attending this Global Congress of One Hope, representing Namibia. I shared some of that last week. I don't want to go back there. You can listen to the sermon, but just briefly I shared on that and why I was there representing our country to take that the Word of God and joining hands with this ministry to take the Word of God into Namibia, every country representing themselves. And there was nearly 100 countries being present there. So it was such an awesome experience just being among nations and other brothers from other countries, met some new people. But I think there's so many things that took place in the period of 7 days sitting in the presence of God. But one of those moments, and you had to come back and just conclude and just sit down and say, God, what happened to me? What were you saying to me? And what do we bring back? And what do we need to apply? And what do I have to put action points around that? And I think one thing that stood out in my own life that I want to minister from that place this morning is that I realized how I've limited God, how I've, over a period of time, limited God through the way I look at him. You know, sometimes we start off well, and then somewhere along the line, your view of God just starts to shrink. And I think that's where I was for a moment. You know, you think you're still okay until you rub shoulders with other Christians. That's why it's so good. Listen to me. It's good to get out of your territory. It's good to get out of Swakopmund. It's good to get anywhere. Just go somewhere, you know. Meet other people. Carol is going to go to, you're going, man. Go, go. There's a reason why Jesus said go. There's a reason, man. Because there's something in that going. No, no, no. It doesn't matter. You don't need an agenda to go. Just go. Listen, you don't need an agenda. He said, just go. I figured out that as I go, I don't always have an agenda, or I don't always have a plan, but in the process, I'm exposed to so many things. I meet new people. I encounter God in different ways. And this was one of those moments when you're around people and you hear them talking, you hear them sharing vision, you realize, God, oh, help me. I think I've just limited you so much, the kind of God that we serve, you know. And I hope this morning that somewhere God is going to stir up something inside of us, for all of us here this morning, that God will change that. Maybe you are there this morning, you say, you know what, I'm not limiting God, so help me this morning, because I'm still figuring this out. And say, God, why? I need to come back and dream bigger, and I need to and allow you, just that which God has placed inside of us, to grow to the fullness. Amen. So you can preach with me here by saying amen, hallelujah, not your head, then I know you're still awake. I always ask that on a Sunday morning, but I don't know why we're still so slow. So say amen with me again, huh? Touch the person next to you and say, God is going to send you this morning, huh? Huh? Amen. You know, there's a story in Scripture. There's a very popular verse that I've quoted many times. I've meditated upon that verse so often. And I think I've missed it a little bit. That Scripture in Joshua 24, that Joshua said to his, almost said to his family, he said to the people of Israel, listen, you guys, you've seen it all. But and I'm paraphrasing this, rephrase this now. You've seen it all, but you make up your minds. For me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Huh? We heard that Scripture. Now, it's a beautiful Scripture. Huh? Some of us, we've got it on our walls. I've seen it in some houses. Beautiful Scripture. Huh? Yeah, it's amazing Scripture. Only thing is, I don't know why I missed this, but I always thought he said this at the beginning of the Promised Land. Actually, it was at the end of the, just before he's about to die. It's his funeral. I won't say when it's his funeral. But he's just about to say the last few words to the people of Israel before he departs, or he's going with the Lord. So it's so interesting to notice why and to see the context of that conversation. Because he's talking to them after they've gone into the Promised Land. He led them from victory to victory to victory, from conquering nation after nation. He led them through seeing Jericho, the walls of Jericho falling. And now they've seen all the great things that God has done. And why would he say to them, listen, guys, you've seen it all. Now you need to make up your mind if you're going to serve God or not. I think the same generation, listen, the same generation that he spoke to were the grandchildren or the great-grandchildren of the opas and omas, or the great-grandfathers, that probably spoke to them. Listen, this generation didn't only hear this, they saw that with their own eyes. But I can imagine if you would remind the story, they would have been around the campfire, somewhere around the table, or somewhere in the desert, listening to great-grandfather telling them, this was Hebrew tradition, to tell them the stories of what God has done. Remember, the previous generation didn't enter into the Promised Land. So this is the generation that entered into the Promised Land, and they would have sat around that fire, and they would have heard God, or the people saying to them, you know what, we were in trouble, but God came through for us. We were at that Red Sea, and we didn't know where to go. And that day, we were so afraid, but God came through for us on that day. You wouldn't believe it with your own eyes. Wouldn't believe it, but the waters actually parted. Wow! What? I mean, can you imagine the kind of stories you would tell your children? You say, listen, we're going to go through the sea here. And that day, we went through the sea. People will think you're nuts, huh? Sorry. Huh? Sorry, it just slipped out. But I mean, they think you're mad. That's the kind of things that happened. 11 different scenarios when God would display his power to that generation to show himself strong, to show him, I am God. I am the exceedingly, I'm your, like he said to Abram, I am your exceedingly great reward. I'm this great one. And he actually showed it to them. Yet it was that specific generation which saw that didn't enter into the promised land. So we have two generations here. He's speaking to this generation, saying, listen, you've heard this, you've seen this, you need to make up your mind. Because the previous generation was also that same generation. I think it's in Numbers 13:33, if I quote it correctly. It's the same generation that went into the 12 spies. Listen, they came back. They gave a bad report. No? We know 10 gave a bad report, 2 gave a good report. And as a result of that, listen, the Bible says that those 10 not only gave a bad report, they went and they affected the other people as well, negatively. And that was it for God. It's okay if we sometimes miss it. Listen, and that just struck me again when I was reading this. Sometimes we're just going to miss God's greatness. And I think I still miss it as I'm standing here. But when we become reporters and we deliberately start negatively speaking about that, that was just one too far. God said, no, you're affecting other people as well now. And then everybody was affected, and they all started complaining after they seen God's great power. And God says, okay, guys, this is it. Call it a day. There was a dividing line. They couldn't repent. Well, even Scripture talks about that in Hebrews. Same with Esau. Listen, there's a place where God's grace, and I don't know where that is this morning. Scripture talks about that with Esau specifically. He went afterwards, and he found no place for repentance. That's a tough one, man. But anyway, so they couldn't find a place of repentance because God said the following day, listen, guys, you're not entering in. But he's the same old generation that after the people came to them, gave a bad report, said, we are like, come on, where's the people that attended the first service? You can give them the answer. We are like grasshoppers in our own eyes. After they've seen God's spirit, they've seen God's presence, they've been in God's presence, they've seen God's power, they still are like grasshoppers in their own eyes. And this is probably my aim this morning, to shake that grasshopper spirit off us. Huh? Shake the person next to you, say, get rid of the grasshopper spirit. Huh? Because I believe there's something inside of us this morning. You're not a grasshopper, okay? You're a kingdom child, or a child of the king of the king this morning. And there's something inside of us. Hear me. I want you just to pay attention for a few minutes. Oh, already my introduction is too long. I need to get this plane into. Let me swip. Then I don't have notes to look at this morning. Listen, there's something that God wants to do inside of us to get rid of that grasshopper spirit, the mentality, the way we look at ourselves, the way we act, the way we react. Yes, here's the thing. There's a distinction in the body of Christ. I see survivors and I see conquerors. Because why am I saying this? Because if Jesus would speak about John 10, about life in abundance, it means that some of us, we don't live in abundance. We just go with the flow and survive. And you will probably make it to heaven. So relax. But the bad side is you're going to suffer here on earth. You're not going to see the fullness of God here. There's a reason why Paul would write, we are more than conquerors. I trust that God would do something in our hearts over the coming weeks that we are coming to that place and realizing, you know what, I'm not a grasshopper. I'm a conqueror in Christ. And if I submit to that process and surrender to that process, he's going to do something and expose something inside of me, make it known to me, stuff that is deposited inside of me that I'm not even aware of, that's deep down there, that as I'm following him, he's exposing that, he's showing that to me and say, hey, wow, I've placed that inside of you because you've got kingdom purpose. You're here for a purpose. You're here for a reason. I said that last week. Two important things, two important dates in your life. Huh? The day when you were born and the second one. The day when you realize why I'm here. Man, if the day when you get to that place, when you realize why you're here, I tell you what, the enemy, he's also scared of that. Suddenly, he's got purpose. She's got purpose now. We can float through this life. We can survive through this life. But if we want to be conquerors for Christ, there's certain things that we have to look at. The scripture, if we look at Joshua this morning, quickly, four things I want to share with you this morning. When I look at Joshua and Caleb, now remember Joshua and Caleb were the two people that didn't bow to the opinion or didn't submit to that spirit. The Bible says actually of Caleb, he had a different spirit. And that's what I want us or people to say or the world out to say, he's got a different spirit. This man's got a different spirit. There's something, not the grasshopper spirit. Okay, amen. first thing, Deuteronomy 34, verse 9. Can we get it up there? Now, Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid hands on him. So the children of Israel heeded him and did as the Lord had commanded Moses. A different spirit present, or spirit of wisdom. But in short, if we're going to be conquerors this morning as a church, Shofar Swakop Munt, you as individual, for us as a church in this nation, we will have to be led by the Spirit of God. We cannot just go according to opinion, what is nice, what is popular, what the world wants. And I want to take it a step further, not just being led by the Spirit of God. But I figured out over a period of time as I mingle with other people, and I'm talking to you about Christians, that some people carry, listen to me, some people carry more of God's presence than others. And it's not because God's got blue eye boys. Why is it that some have more of God's presence, or they've got more around? It's not because God is a respecter of people. In actual fact, he says this, I'm not a respecter of people. It's just because some love his presence more. You know, when Moses was in his presence, it's just the automatic reaction when you are hanging around that, when you're in his presence, what happens? He drops off. It just becomes so part of you. And that when we are around people, people feel that. They sense that. He's different. And I'm probably, this is probably the thing that God is challenging me probably the most in the last 2 years about his presence in my life. His presence in this church, his presence in our home cells, his presence in our homes, just to get that in. And I've said it many times, I'm not going to say that, what he told me. I've told that many times. All I'm saying is, I want to get around the presence. I want to get into the presence. I want to carry that. I want to be there where God's presence is. You see, if we want to go out into war, we need the presence of God in our lives. Because we are in a war as we speak. It's a battle for spiritual, for your spirit, for the spirit of the people, for the souls of the people of this world. But in order to do that, in order to conquer, we need to get into the presence of God. It's not just going out, it's a reality, or the realities, we need to come into his presence. But in order to carry his presence, we need to be in his presence continuously. See, we need to be sensitive, guys. We need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit as and when he moves. As this morning, you know, we can skip this. We can just say for a moment, you know what, let's just push through. Let's just get the sermon through. Let's just do a few songs and we just go home. But what is more important is that God wants to touch somebody right now. It is not so important that I do my little sermon and share a few words. What is important that we are getting people into the presence of God. There's nothing, listen, there's nothing that I can say that can replace what God can do in your life this morning or somebody else, in your husband, or your wife, your colleague's life. The presence of God is that thing that we need to pursue continuously. And if we are going to be spirit-led, we need to be people that love, listen to me, people that loves prayer. If you don't like or love prayer, you don't have that discipline in your life. God was saying this, I believe, deliberately to us as a church. Guys, you're not going to get there in a different way. There's not another avenue. It's only through prayer. It's only through that discipline. It's only through that door. I know we all sometimes think, you know what, this is too early, or this is not convenient, or I don't like it right now. I mean, I've been there, but I figured it more than ever out before. As I'm getting, almost want to say getting busier and busier, the more I have to rely upon prayer. The more I have to fall back and say, Jesus, I'm so busy, but if I'm becoming so busy that I cannot even pray, then I have a problem. It tends to be, and it looks like to me at this moment in my own life, those days that I'm almost the most things that I've got planned and on the weeks that are most busiest, the Holy Spirit asked me, can I just pull you away just for an hour? You know, and then your mind will kick in. No, but I can't afford now. I've got so many emails. I have to see so many people. I've got ministry stuff to do. No. I want to be with you. But I figured out if I obey him in those moments that he he multiplies my hours. He does stuff that I don't have to go and do afterwards just because I've been in his presence. Amen. If we're going to be conquerors this morning, people, we need to be people that are driven by vision and not by need. Numbers 13:27 says this. Joshua and Caleb were in the promised land, and they entered into the promised land. They had the first vision of the promised land. They came back with the other spies, and they saw and they reported back to the people about the promised land. And our lives cannot be, listen, our lives can't be directed by the needs of this world. We cannot make decisions in this world based upon how much I want to earn. Listen, what I want to drive, where I want to live. Because then if those things are variable things, the morning they tell you, listen, we finished your job. Sorry, thank you for your time. Suddenly you are at a place where you do not know where to find yourself. But if we say to one another this morning, I'm driven by vision. And when I talk about vision, it means God's vision for my life, for our life, for us as a family. Because the problem is too many in this world, in the church, I've seen it. We go according to where the children feel comfortable. We will relocate schools, towns. We will change from this job to that job. We'll go from this place to that place because this is paying more. This is more comfortable. This is more suitable here. And we miss the growth process that God's got in store for us. See, a vision-driven life requires of us continuously to get into His presence and say, God, I need a fresh touch from You. I just need to give me fresh direction. Am I still in place? Am I still at the right place where You want me? And then if God doesn't say anything, just carry on. Okay, that's just a tip. Sometimes people start wondering. I've been in that place, and I had to ask the Lord. Lord, I'm thinking of going down this avenue. Lord said, No. You don't go down that avenue. You stay and you do what I've asked you to do. And sometimes, if God asks us to do that, it doesn't mean that we're not going to have. We'll need to persevere in that moment. Sometimes it's tough times that God will take us through that process, in order to get to the vision or to that place that God has prepared for us. But it means that we'll have to hang in there because God is doing something on the inside. If we're continuously going to go according to need, we're going to opt out because it's not nice here. Money, whatever it might be, God is bigger than that. All I'm just saying is hang in there. And I think there's a word for somebody here this morning. Hang in there. God is not finished with you yet. Just hang in there. Allow the Holy Spirit just to give you a fresh vision. Numbers 13, verse 30 to 31 says this. Can we have it up there? Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. Here comes the grasshopper spirit. Boom, boom, boom. Listen, if God is going to call you, which all of us are called here, all of us, for something specifically, sometime or someday He's going to ask you to do something that will scare other people around you. Something bold, a step of faith, something that others would think you missed it. But if you're going to allow the environment to influence you, if you're going to allow the opinions, and I'm not saying don't listen to other people, please. There are counsel in the wisdom of many. Listen, we need, or wisdom in the counsel of many, sorry, other way around. But we need to make sure, and this is why it's important that you know where God has sent me, or why God is sending me, or God has asked me. If you don't have that, the environment will influence you. The world will decide for you. Need will decide for you. But that's why it's important. God, You've asked me to be in this church. You've asked me to slot in here. You've asked me to walk with this person. God, You've asked me to do this, whatever it might be this morning. God, You said, hang in at this. Sometimes we change from job. You know how many times, I mean, in my own life, I just wanted to quit. I wanted to go into full-time ministry. I wanted to birth the Ishmael. It's so easy to birth an Ishmael. And God says, no, hang in there. I'm like, God, I don't have purpose here. I'm going to go into ministry, and God, I will do so many great things for You. Anyway, God is not bothered about what we can do for Him. It's just, anyway, a privilege. By the way, that's just a tip there. You know, we are not laborers to God first or workers to God first. We lovers, supposed to be lovers of God first before we do anything for Him. And from that place, we can work. But if we have it the other way around, you're going to burn out. You're going to strive. You're going to get to that place and think, you know what, this is not good enough. Let me do something more so then I can be accepted by God. No, you were accepted by God the day when you said, Jesus, here I am. In actual fact, before you were lost. I said it last Sunday as well. That song. Go and listen to that song, a few songs. Before I was lost, You found me. Ah, wow. Anyway. If we're going to say to one another this morning, we want this nation to be conquered, we want to get to that place where God has promised us, the promised land, a nation, then we need to become bold. Then you need to come to that place and say, Jesus, here I am. I know where You're taking me. I know what You're asking us as a family. and we're going to step out in faith. But we're not going to allow the environment to influence us. In actual fact, God has placed us in that environment so that you are not changed by the temperature of the environment, but that you change and that we change the temperature of that environment. The last one this morning. So we're saying to one another this morning, we are led by the Spirit of God. We need to be led by the Spirit. We need to be vision-driven. We need not to be influenced by our environment. And the final one I want to share this morning is that we need to continuously pursue the unconquered territories. Joshua 23 verse 4 says this. Can we just jump to that scripture? See, I have divided to you by lot these nations that remain to be an inheritance for your tribes from the Jordan with all the nations that I've cut off as far as the great sea westward. This is part of Joshua's last conversation with the people of Israel. Now, some translations, I think it's the New Living Translation that says it's this way. It says, I have given you the unconquered territories. Can I say this with all respect? There's so much that God still wants to do through you and me, through us as a family. That's actually so much that is more than the number of your days left still here on earth. And it's time to tap into that and time to discover that. Everything you need for the job is already inside of you. You might not know about it, and I still discover that. I still figure out what God has placed there. I still figure out some gifting, some ability, some stuff that God has placed so deep inside of us. Before the foundation of the world, he fathomed you. He thought about you. You know what? I need to give him that specific skill. I'm going to give him this personality because I'm preparing him for a day as today. Very quiet, huh? I'm getting excited about this stuff. Everything is inside of us. Hebrews talk about the heroes of faith, that Abram, one of them, God gave him a promise, but he didn't see the fullness of that. Because what God's got in store is so much more than what we've got left here. But we want to go all the way. And I just want to say, sorry to burst your bubble, but there's not such a thing as retirement in the kingdom of God. That's not scriptural, okay? There's not retirement. You can't sit back at 65 and sit back and say, listen, well, I'm just going to get here for coffee. No, you've got a purpose here, okay? Amen. Thank you. All the old people, if you see yourself as old, I don't know. There are no young old people here in this place, okay? They are just more advanced. And actually, scripture talks about that. I read this past week in 1 John. And he distinguished between children, listen, young men and fathers. He would write in three different occasions, which speaks to us that we need to mature to that place and grow into that place from children to young men to fathers, okay? The problem is when you get to 60 and 70 years of age, when your days are tactically or running out here on earth, according to what we've been allocated, or we don't know how long, but let's just say we work on an 80, 90 year, 70, maybe less. We don't know. None of us are guaranteed. But when we see, according to the natural, when it runs out and you are still a child and you've been in church or you've been around people so long that you're still a child, you've got problems. God wants you to raise you up to a place of being a father for others. Because sometimes our energy, I mean, let's be honest, we've got more energy when we're younger. We've got dreams inside of us. And why do you think God spoke to us about reaching the next generation? Listen, we can't accomplish that in our own strength. We will have to deliberately go to the next generation and say, you've got energy, you've got power, you've got capacity that we do not have. We might have some wisdom, we might have some other stuff, but we need you. Why would you think, just in the natural, why would any nation in the world, they don't go to army, sorry to say to the other people here, myself included, certain age groups they would go for. Why? They've got a capacity and ability to do that. Would you think Jesus picked as his disciples? Sorry, they were not 60 years old. Can I just, well, I'm not saying we don't have purpose. I'm just saying we deliberately need one another, the next generation, the ones here in the middle and the ones there. And we need to take hands and say to one another, you know what, I've been there, but I can impart to you. I can pray for you. I can be there for you. And we can encourage one another. We can't be a church that sits here and it's just us. And we're not going to go out to the next generation. They need to come to us and they need to come and listen to our music and they need to adapt to us. That is the last words of a dying church. If we want to reach the next generation, guess who needs to change? Not them, us. I had a conversation with somebody the other day. Said, it seems like you don't like the old people. I'm like, oh, God, help me here. I don't know why how that came across, but and I love everybody. What I'm just saying to you, I'm getting into a stage of my life where I realize, God, I really need to think about the next generation. I don't have to wait till I'm 70 now. I have to wake up and, oh, God, we need to get this thing over to the next generation so that they can run with this. The church needs to continuously look at the next generation. Hey, you're coming behind us. We need you. We need you. But I can give something we can impart. I'm getting distracted. Sorry. Unconquered territories. So let me, time is out, conclude. I was in this conference, as I said, and I'm listening to Bob Hoskins. Now, Bob is the founder, he's the founder of this ministry called One Hope. Okay? They are in, I think, 190 countries, as I'm speaking, all across the world. Started in 1987 with just the vision, having a vision or dream, how Satan comes and he enters into this world and releases such an attack against the children of this world, a spiritual attack. And he spoke to the Lord and he said, Lord, we have to start somewhere. So this ministry started. We showed it to the leaders on Monday night about his life story. We're sharing this. So he started by just distributing the word of God. So he broke it down into a format, in a way that the kids can read that. So they went in and, I mean, you can listen to his story. It's just so encouraging. So he was doing the same thing at our conference just there. And I was just so challenged, inspired. I don't know how to describe that. By listening to this man's story that he's walked there, that he's seen, literally, he's seen millions. He committed to say yes to presidents and to leaders to say, here we are, we'll do that for you. And then afterwards figuring out, what did he say yes to? And I remember, I think one of those cases, it's a million books he shared on the story about, I think it's a president of one of the countries that they were in. And the guy said to him, listen, can you give books to every person, every child in this country? And he heard books, Bible, every child, yes, yes, yes. And then he went back and his secretary asked him, listen, did you know how many people are in the country? He said, no. I guess you start figuring out, and there was a million. Without any funds. You know, and here's the thing I figured out as well, is that God is always going to ask us to say yes to him first, and not yes to the assignment first. Otherwise, we might opt out. We might not see what God wants to do. So he's sharing this story, and I was so encouraged. And he said this, you know, you can clutter a child's mind with education. You can clothe a child. You can feed him. But ultimately, his heart remains empty for the word of God. And it applies to all of us. God has called us, and we're going to share a little bit now, a little bit later, about what we're going to do this week. God has called us to go into this world. He's given us a promised land. He's given us this nation. He's given us this country. He's given us so many places. Every place that our foot treads upon. And he says it's yours. Deuteronomy 1 verse 8 talks about that. I don't want to go into that. There's no time left. But if you read that scripture, God says to them, this is before they enter into the promised land. He says, listen, I have given this to you. I've already done this. But they are not in the promised land yet. And then he would take a few steps back and say, okay, you go. God will always speak to us about our future as if he's done it already. But then he will say, you go. Just go in. So the story continues where Jesus would be on the shores of Galilee. John talks about that. And the people would come to Jesus. Thousands and thousands of people. And Jesus would look at them. And he says to his disciples, and the Bible says this, Jesus already knew what he was going to do, yet he said to his disciples, you go and feed them. Why would he ask his disciples if he already knew what he was going to do? I guess this is just the way Jesus works with us. He's already got a plan in place for your life. Listen to me. Now he's going to ask you, you go and feed them. He took that bread. He multiplied that bread. And what did he do? He placed it back into their hands, in our hands, and said, now you go. Now you go into the world. There's a famous slogan that Adidas had recently in their campaign. And the slogan read this, impossible is nothing. Impossible is not a fact. Think about that. It's not an opinion. It isn't an opinion. Impossible is potential. Impossible is not a decoration. It is a dare. Yeah, I thought about that when somebody said that the first time. Impossible is just an opinion. Who said it's impossible? The world will tell you it's impossible. How many seemingly impossible situations the people of Israel were in front of, were heading to? How many of your own life, think about it, it seemed impossible, but impossible is temporarily, impossible is nothing. And I thought about it for a little bit longer. Let's change that word impossible this morning to a word that maybe better described that, called inevitable. And we rephrase that about the proclaimed future that God's got in store for all of us here this morning. It is not just impossible this morning for the glory of God to cover the earth, but it's inevitable. It is not impossible, that every tongue will be represented around the throne room of God. It is inevitable. It's not impossible that every knee will bow and every tongue confess. It's inevitable. It's not impossible that all the kings of this world will have to throw down their crowns before the King of Kings. It's inevitable. That's the kind of God that we serve this morning. That's greater than what we can think, ask, or imagine. Ephesians 3:20 that jumps to my mind now, to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. That's the kind of God that we serve this morning that says, get rid of that grasshopper spirit. Get rid of that mentality because I want to do something. When we have Kairos moments, I don't know whether it's this morning, but I don't know whether God is setting you up for such a Kairos moment. Let me just explain that to you, that Greek concept of Kairos. Kairos means it's a definitive time. It's a moment. It's a window of opportunity. So what would God do? He would take us to windows of opportunity where His Spirit is present, where it's a now moment, where He is there. And in that Kairos moment, He will stretch us sometimes, or He will confront us to be stretched. Okay? Then you have the option to believe what He says, who He says He is, or you're just going to submit to that different spirit. But here's the thing. When you see God's glory, when you see God's power, when you see God's coming through for you at that Kairos moment, something on the inside stretches. It's like you're going to the, almost want to say you're going to the gym and you thought you couldn't lift that weight. And suddenly there's this, this power that comes upon and you just, it enables you just to lift that. And the bad thing is if you go back to the same mentality that you had before. Because actually God was just showing you, listen, it's possible. It's possible. Once God has stretched you, you cannot go back to that place. It's not going to be good for you. You're going to get into survival mode. And I think that's what God is trying to say to us this morning as a church. I want to end here. That God wants to take us to those moments. Get rid of that grasshopper spirit, that mentality. And God's going to say to us, you know what? You were building a church. There was nothing. There was just the start. I know we're in the middle of this. This is just nothing. It's just a building, by the way. It's just a something that we're going to use to reach people. And we might look at this from this side now and say, whoa, it's a lot of money. And, I don't know how we're going to finish. We're still in this process. I mean, God could have given us the exact amount before the time. I mean, it's all over now. But He could have given us one big amount, but would you think that we would have grown through this process and learn a lot? God already had a plan of that church long time before we had the plan. He already knew who's going to know Him, who's going to meet Him in that place, how many people we're going to touch. But He's still saying to us, you go and do that. And then you trust me and then you pray. And then you fast and then you, I want to say, worry a little bit. Because we're learning in this process. And then once we're through there, I bet you we're going to say to one another, it was possible we can take on something else because our God is with us. And as He said to these disciples of back then on the seas of Galilee, saying to us this morning, I've done it all. Here's the plan. Here's my word. It's eternal. It's already prepared. It's ready. It trusts us in our hands. Your hands, my hands. And He says, go. You don't need anything else. the fact He gave us His Spirit. And we've got wonderful family around us just to go into this world. God's already got the plan, but we still need to go. We might not might wonder how. I guess that's why it's so important that we stay so connected to the vine, into His presence.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.